Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
Hello, friends. This is your friendly neighborhood geekologist, Will Rose, and what you're about to listen to is a panel from the pop culture stage at Theology Beer Camp 2025 in St. Paul, Minnesota. I was there hanging out with TJ and Leah and Ryan and Kim and Jay Patty and John Augustine and other fellow geekologists, and we had such a blast. So big thanks to Trip Fuller and Homebrew Christianity for allowing us to be a part of these conversations and discussions, and even allowing us to help curate what happens on the pop culture stage, formerly known as Geek Stage. And when you're listening to this episode and you ask yourself, really? This kind of thing happens at Theology Beer Camp? Yes. Yes, it does. So come hang out with us at the next one in 2026, October 8th through the 10th in Kansas City. Hop on over to theologybeercamp.com where you can buy your tickets. And in the meantime, enjoy this panel from Theology Beer Camp 2025. Hey, welcome everybody. I am Will Rose. I'm one of the hosts of Systematic Geekology and one of the curators of the Pop God stage. We've done things like Harry Potter. We've talked about Tolkien, talked about the movie Sinners, and now we're going to talk about humor. And what's the best thing about humor is, like, really systematically thinking about it that's going to suck the humor out of the room. I can't wait to really dissect humor. Funny quick story, I got notes sent home from school all the time when I was little saying laughs too much in class. And I would just go to my mom and say, I can't help it if my friends are funny. And I know good humor when I see it. And I have some friends who are very funny, some of my favorite people, humorists around. And so we're going to go down and kind of introduce ourselves and what we do. And then we're going to jump into some discussion about humor and things that we find funny. So we'll just work down the line that way.
I'm Ralph Jacobson. I teach at Luther Seminary here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And my band will be leading the music for the closing worship.
Oh.
And the band's name is the Fleshpots of Egypt, which is funny.
It is funny. Yeah, I find that funny.
Hi, I'm Christy Whaley. I am both a scholar because I teach theology in Florida. And I mostly work with trauma and grief, which is not funny.
Hilarious.
So I'm really excited to not do that now.
Okay.
But I also have a podcast with Leah called Theology on the Rocks, where we are really, really hilarious all of the time. So you should listen to that.
And super humble as well.
Yeah.
And gorgeous.
So humble and beautiful. And
I mean, don't tell me.
We're amazing.
Yeah, don't tell me. It's a lot of this. So I'm Leah Robinson. I am on the podcast with Christy, Theology on the Rocks. Please do listen. And we drink and talk about theology. Wonder where we got that from.
Yeah.
I'm a professor of theology at Mercer University in Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm a Southerner. I feel like one of the lone Southerners here. I'm
What?
Well, it's North Carolina. Where are you from?
North.
I also live in North Carolina, so I can't say it is Southern. We love you.
Ironically.
I live in Charlotte right now. But yeah, so I'm a professional theologian.
South Dakota's in the north.
That's true.
That's some Yankee talk. And I do like humor, too. And it's an interesting thing with Christy and I is you know, we are serious academics. We write books. There's my bad theology book over there on the shelf. But we also like to have fun. And I think that's it's that sort of in between of like, how do you be a serious academic? I mean, I'm wearing a jacket. But how do you do that and also have a good time as well and have fun? Because what's the point if you're not doing that?
Yeah. Leah also will soon be one of the hosts on Systematic Geekology.
She will. That's right.
Yeah, she's with myself. I'm TJ Blackwell. I'm from South Carolina. The real Southerner on the panel.
That's right.
So I mostly do that with Will, Leah, a bunch of other people.
Is there like 37 hosts of that?
They're 10.
Yeah. She says because she's jealous.
You'll be next.
Horribly. Jealousy's not cute on you. But I also host the Whole Church podcast with Joshua Knowles. Some of you may know him. We do, you know, church unity, churches working together interdenominationally. I'm Pentecostal.
You're welcome here.
So that's pretty much it. I work in food service. Save the applause.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks, TJ. Yeah, so here at Theology Beer Camp, we go really deep with big concepts of theology and philosophy, and we gather together with beer, and we have deep conversations with friends. We reunite with folks. There's a lot of things that happen at Theology Beer Camp over the years, but I will say what thing I've seen and experienced here is a lot of humor and a lot of laughter too. It brings me joy when we're up in the big room upstairs, and there's a really meaningful theological point being made that can bring a tear to your eye, and then the next moment. To bring levity to the room, to disarm the room, to connect with others is to find laughter and humor with one another. And I hear a whole room just kind of roar with laughter, whether it's a silly skit or a joke or trying to be funny. And then it doesn't land too hard, but people laugh anyway. Is pretty great. So here we are. And so what is humor? What is it? Where is it found biblically, theologically? What do we like about humor? Rolf wrote a book about it. And so run with it. What is funny?
What's funny?
What is funny?
So I think the main thing about humor is it sees the world differently than non-humor.
Okay.
So, and there's different types of humor, but so how many of you ever used to watch like comics in cars or whatever that, what's the Seinfeld thing you'd get? Comedians in cars and
getting coffee.
Comedians getting coffee in cars. I don't know. But so Seinfeld says to Norm Macdonald, it was his birthday yesterday, a blessed memory. He says, here's how comedians see the world is. And he said, basically he wanted there to be a joke, but there's no joke in this, but it's about how they see the world. He goes, when you want to bring your dry cleaning in, there's 4,000 dry cleaning options in New York City. But when you want to pick it up, there's only one. Mm. Now, he said there's no joke there. But that's the kind of way that comedians see the world. And I think the best example is Norm Macdonald's joke about the homeless guy. Which is not a funny topic, right? But he says, I saw a homeless guy with a dog. And most people would look at it and think, man, I feel sorry for the homeless guy. But Norm goes, but I feel sorry for the dog. Mm. This is the longest walk ever. So, no, right? But
so good.
It's so good.
He's so good.
But but then you can get into the pathos of the situation because, first of all, you've noticed the incongruity. So Reinhold Niebuhr said this, the intimate relationship between humor and faith is that both deal with the incongruities of our existence. And so that's why I think theologies and humor are such important conversation partners, is because what are those incongruities? When somebody read a book I wrote with my brother about humor, they said, you like the word incongruity, don't you? Well, Reinhold Niebuhr didn't. We thought that was a smart sentence.
I mean, that's a good footnote. Reinhold Niebuhr signed off on that.
Yeah, right.
I like to think about the ways that humor can help us to process stuff. I write and deal in a lot of trauma and grief, and that's not easy to process. And so when we start to talk about humor and the ways that it can help us think about life and all of this, Sartre says that life is absurd and we have to kind of understand this absurdity. But in doing that, if we're kind of pushing ourselves into the humorous, we can start to see the absurdity and ways to cope with stuff, and ways to push back against things. I was recently looking into the kind of ridicule protest movement that we see, especially in Portland right now, with the inflatable Halloween costumes and everything, and the way that
the frog,
the frog and everything. And there's actually like a really, really long history of ridicule protest in meeting the kind of violent oppressor with something so absurd that it would literally be
disarming.
Yeah, it's disarming. And it's and it would be like the most obvious problem for them to then attack. Like if they attack, as they did, the frog, right? They pepper sprayed. To be like, how in the world did you think that a frog was going to be a real threat to you? He was in a frog costume. And so that we can see what's going on here, you know, humor can help us to see truth and what's going on in the world in ways that just trying to say, this is how it is, this is what's going on.
To see a frog as a threat really takes a leap of faith.
Here we go. It's not going to be a pin on humor without dad jokes.
That's solid right. dad joke.
Sorry. I apologize for that there, Lord.
In his defense, if a frog was my height, which is not a super high bar to clear, I would be terrified.
Yeah, it's right?
I'm if the pepper spray made it through the costume.
Yeah, so the way those work.
They sprayed it into
the inflatable suits. You have a little vent, usually in the butt. That's where all your air comes from. And that officer leans right over. Yeah. Pepper spray just the vent.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's some deep mascot lore.
And do that. You're clearly not being threatened.
Right. Excuse me, sir. Can I see your air vent?
Right.
That's my pickup line. Yeah.
That's a crazy cavity, sir. Found it, build it.
So I think growing up, where I did, by the way, if anyone can tell me what's happening in the Georgia game,
I'm on that.
They're losing 78-3.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Very bad.
Feeling uncomfortable. Anyway, so growing up where I did, and some of you are from the South, there is a way. We talk a lot about doom and gloom. If you read the Gothic writers, Southern writers, you'll see that a lot. But there's also a point where there's some levity and some joking. You see this a lot with like Mark Twain and those kind of writers, where they realize just how sad things have gotten. And there's something about it where they won't let it sink that far down. And so they make a joke or they pop, you know, some sort of funny thing in. And so I think that was what it was with my family, is we'd get together and we'd be like, oh, you know, Aunt so-and-so died and we got to bring the casserole and it's going to be at the church. But man, she was a bitch. and then we'd keep on going. Right. And I think that's the thing, is seeing humor not as something, it was affectionate, even though we called her a bad word,
like
to see humor as being something that brings us up. And also, as Christy said, to bring it theological, to read the text and to not see it as sort of an absurd text. I'm Christian and irreverent, so it's not that you don't have to believe it, but, you know, Mary got knocked up by God. Yeah. I'm just going to leave that there.
Thank you for that.
So, and we're just like, yeah, that's fine. Joseph's like, is it? You know? We had a question yesterday during the Hot Ones Challenge. It was like, whatever happened to Joseph? Where did he go? I don't know. Guess he's off of Monty Python somewhere.
Yeah. So for me, I tend to be one of the younger people at beer camp. I just turned 14.
Take that beer away from him,
it's
please.
It's a great fake mustache.
So I just growing up, I've been irony poisoned my whole life. Everything, you can't take anything seriously. That's just the way it is. I am 26 officially.
Thank you, TJ. I was worried there for a second.
And
can we
see your ID though?
Yeah.
I'm nervous now.
Whoever wants it can come and take it from my cold, dead hand. I earned my spot at the beer line. But for me, humor is always what we go to. regardless. Everything has to be funny in some way. I've never been alive at a point where 9/11 was something reverent.
Irreverent?
No.
Okay.
Reverent. Yeah. It was always irreverent to me, because by the time I was old enough to be able to conceptualize what 9/11 really was, it was already a joke to people my age. So to me, it's mostly deflection, but it is also the only way anyone can really speak. And especially younger than me. I don't know if you guys know anyone younger than me. Those kids are bad. Those kids are messed up. Nothing ever gets a moment of respect.
Well, let's build on that a little bit. Like the 9/11 thing, like you wouldn't think, yeah, that's not funny. But like in terms of how we process pain and trauma and using humor to help us process it, whether it's Monty Python's Quest for the Holy Grail or like we'll talk about Rocky Horror Picture Show here in a minute. But like what is it, those things that we traumatic events or events that are on the surface or at deep levels aren't funny, and yet to find humor in it or to help disarm it, what is about the human nature or the human condition that goes to humor?
Yeah. So I want to, one of my favorite deflectionary jokes, 2016 ish, you know, the election. But I, for a little backstory, I'm from, you know, Spartanburg, Greenville, South Carolina. We're a pretty redneck place, big NASCAR guys. If you're familiar with NASCAR history, the last driver to die in a race was Dale Earnhardt, 2001, February 21st, someday in February that year. My little sister was born that June. Her middle name is Dale.
Whoa. Wow.
So.
Wow.
As a little backstory, she loves it, for the record. But my favorite joke I've ever heard about the Orange Man was that I'd love to support him, but he wants to build that wall, and I can't vote for that because walls is what killed Dale. Oh. And I,
killing it. DJ.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. Rolf, thoughts on absurdity? Or go for it.
I mean, I do think, too, there is a... Sorry. I do think that there is this idea... Christy and I lived in Scotland for a long time. And in Glasgow, which is a very working-class city, they have a phrase called digi-i. And basically, it's when you start bragging about something for a certain amount of time.
They'll digi-i. They'll be like,
digi-i. And it's basically saying, get off your high horse, essentially. And I think that's the same in the South as well. Is I think it's a very, I'm not saying all humor comes from the working class, but I do think there is something to be said for people who struggle in general, and needing to find levity in the midst of sadness or struggle. And that it could be music, it could be humor, it could be church. But I think when we look, especially across the states, and we look at certain regions that act or behave in certain ways, it kind of makes sense because it feels like there is some sort of escape that I think humor is really a part of.
So broadly speaking, Peter Berger says there are three types of humor. This is very oversimplifying to the extreme. The two most common forms are either wit or satire. And so when you're talking about, what did you call it in Portland?
The frog.
Yeah. What's that called?
It's a ridicule protest.
Right. So whether you call it ridicule or satire or parody or sarcasm, that's one of the forms of humor, which is completely different than, although it's like a Venn diagram, it can cross over, then the basic form, which is wit. So like, and the wit has different forms. The I think one of the most basic, crudest forms is the pun, right? Or the dad joke, which is what I made earlier, right? About leap of faith. But I think that, and both of those are morally neutral. So your complete jerk or very holy person can use either one of them. It really depends on the use, which is why. But I do think that especially the second type, satire or ridicule, My brother and I used to teach at a tennis camp, and Carl, that was his name, he would say to the campers, "You've heard of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse," which of course they hadn't, right? You know, death, famine, disease, and warfare. I'm the fifth rider, ridicule, right? Ridicule can be very, positive, like, so Mel Brooks, right, the great Jewish movie producer, I love what he says. He says his whole career was really about making fun of Hitler. But he couldn't get anybody to make the producers. Because can you make fun of 9/11? Can you make fun? It's like when Louis C.K. started his Saturday Night Live monologue at the start about child abuse, right? Right? Have you seen it? And at the end, he goes, "Well, we got through that."
It was
barely. But there's, Mel Brooks said this. He goes, "If you get on a soapbox with Hitler, you're going to lose. But if you can make fun of him, if you can make people laugh at him, you win. The only weapon I've got is comedy." And so I really think that that's, maybe that's why what you're saying is, for the powerless, it's such a powerful coping mechanism, but also a way to say, tell the truth.
Oh, truth
and
telling.
It makes sense
truth
why they're going after, like, Donald Trump has all of the power or whatever at his disposal, but who is he going after? The comedians. Because yeah, they're hurting his feelings.
But it works
funny.
But yeah, just to be fair, it works the opposite way too, which is the Babylon Bee, which is a center right Christian parody site, got deplatformed from social media because they're like, "What you're saying is not true." And they're like, "It's sarcasm."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right? The whole point of the website.
It's, yeah, of course it's not true. The truth is in the joke. And they're like, "Yeah, we don't care. What you're saying is not true."
The Onion is in the midst of trying to emphasize that their ability to have freedom of speech is vital. The Onion is like an incredibly, somehow, an incredibly important piece of news at this point, because we have to have these kinds of satire. I mean, honestly, if we think about Monty Python, there's a whole bunch in all of the movies going on with pointing out weird, absurd things that we just kind of accept in life. And like the bit where King Arthur meets the peasants and they're like digging up the rocks or whatever, and they're like, "Well, I didn't elect you." And it brings up, like, what do we believe about our government, and how do we understand, you know, who gets a say in the powerful, and are these two peasants digging up rocks really going to listen to King Arthur when they have absolutely no reason? Like, and they, like, you pulled a sword, a lady in a lake, and you were like, "Yeah, this, what?" Like, no, you can't.
Right.
You can't tell me that this means you're in charge of me. That's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah. All together now, we're all individuals.
All individuals. Yeah, and I think humor, you know, you bring up points like, what, how far is too far when it comes to humor? Were you pushing? There's council culture. It's what, there's tastes when it comes to humor too. Similar to food. Like, yeah, I hate baked beans, but here, who had baked beans last night? Nobody. Yay. You're with me. Yeah.
Was that an option?
That was an option. There's an option of baked beans. But like, there's things that we really love and things we don't, and there's common ground with what people like. But I think humor is like, oh, I love that movie. Will Ferrell is my favorite comedian of all time. It's like, oh, I can't stand him. I love Conan O'Brien, but I don't. So there are tastes when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. But then the common ground of humor, there's definitely things that we laugh at and pull together. When you hear humor and laugh with someone, it is a solidarity that's there in the midst of that, that I think is really, really important. In a heavy, heavy ass world, comedy brings levity and helps us cope and get through it. So
yeah, I think that even goes back to, if you know about the jester, historically, would typically be the only person in a court who was allowed to kind of just say whatever.
Pick on the ruler, right?
Yeah, because even the kings would realize, like, okay, I need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
At least laugh at this guy.
Yeah.
I need some carmody.
I think about Shakespeare. So, because my PhD is in literature and theology. Somehow.
I got a Shakespeare quote loaded, but go ahead.
But Shakespeare is hilarious. We don't know his language well. So, like, you're looking at it, but he's got all sorts of jokes, mostly making fun of the church and the government because he hated both of them. I mean, we don't know a lot about him, like genuinely, we're just reading things into the plays, but there's a lot of taking down, calling them, you know, all sorts of names through giving them certain characteristics. And then he has this amazing, my favorite Shakespeare sonnet is, I think it's 138, and it's, "My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun," and he's just making fun of romance poetry the whole time. And he's like, "Her breath reeks, like she does not smell like perfume." He says her hair is wires, and like, I mean, it's just, but it's like this really funny and kind of beautiful, because he's like, I love her as a real person instead of this weird cloud in the sky that romance poetry portrays. So
yeah, I tend to think of Shakespeare as having done the same thing as Stephen King, which, if you're unaware, he's a time traveler. He just came back with all of his favorite books and published them himself.
Shakespeare or Stephen King is a time
both.
Are they the same person? Is that
they
what you're
might
saying?
Be?
Okay.
I don't know. It was a bit so good he had to do it twice.
I did have to prove in the break room that I didn't think dragons were real.
But a very
so if you think we're not, we're just doing this for a bit. It's not.
That's the Shakespeare.
Off, you have it pulled up. Yeah.
Well, it's my favorite Shakespeare comedy. So the third type of humor is whatever Berger calls it. I call it proper comedy, which is like the comedies of Shakespeare, which asserts that there is a happy ending and not that kind of happy ending.
Hey-o.
For the dirty, minded among you. I didn't mean it. But so in Twelfth Night, Fest is the name of the fool. And he says, "I wear not motley in my brain." And the point is, whether it's the Greek chorus or the Shakespearean fool, they're the only ones that see the truth and tell it, and no one believes them. And so he wears motley, but he goes, "But not my brain. That is, what I say is actually true," is the point. And that's what I love about the two things I like about the Shakespearean comedies are especially the fool, because they see the truth and say it. And the fact that then in pure comedy, again, so Berger says, he calls it the carnival, but it's the final stage in the progression of the comic from a brief interruption. So that's wit, a brief interruption, right? Which
first, is usually rude.
Huh?
Which is usually rude.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but I get what you're saying. But it's like, so here, like, here's the interruption joke, right? Yeah. The interruption joke is, the first thing I'm going to do when I get home is rip off my wife's underwear, because it's really riding up and cutting the circulation off. Right? So that's just a quick interruption in the, and it's not true. I would be banned. But so if comedy starts as a brief interruption, it's a brief interruption of the social order, the full blown interruption of the social order to assert that there's actually a purpose to the universe. And that purpose is hope giving, is the purpose of pure comedy, which is why Buechner then says the gospel itself is comedy, tragedy, and he calls it fairy tale, but what he means is proper comedy.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
You guys know that book? I hate Buechner's book, The Gospel. Is that the subtitle or is that the title? The Gospel as Comedy, Tragedy, and Fairy Tale. I hated the book the first like three times I read it. But yeah. Then I understood it finally.
You just had to keep going back.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know that is a good advertisement for that. You just beat yourself into liking it.
Well, did you take long gospel? not with me, the class.
Yeah.
So I used to teach a course. I taught a course called Long Gospel, and my co-teacher always said, no, we got to include that book.
Love it. Hey, real, like, quick diversion. We're going to talk about, I would love to go into Rocky Horror Picture Show here in a minute, but I want to pop up and hear from you all, pop off favorite comedy, comedy sketch, comedian, movie, and just, I want to hear kind of a litany of things that, like, I'm going to start, Key and Peele, like, all time. You're like, great. All right. Yeah. Go. What's that? What's that? Big Lebowski.
Oh, damn. What right.
Classic.
What's that? Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek. Yeah. Yeah.
Modern
yeah.
classic.
What's that?
Yeah.
Bill Maher.
Dave Chappelle.
All right. What's that? I think you should leave. We were absolutely. Watching that earlier in our Airbnb. Like, not to, what's that?
Spinal Tap.
Taylor Thomas. Spinal Tap
too. And Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. I'm going to squish you with my little fingers right now. Your head's being squished right now. Others. What's that?
Oh, Williams. Master
come
class.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borat. George Carlin.
George Carlin. What'd you say?
No, Amen, brother, George Carlin.
Yeah, there you go. Second City.
Yeah.
Improv. Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I've not heard Saturday Night Live yet. Who? Anybody?
She did.
Oh, you said it? Said it? Good. That's my appointment television. I love sketch comedy, improv. I love it. I'm depending on what's going on.
Fab, yes.
Mitch Hedberg, yeah.
Taskmaster is. Yeah.
Taskmaster?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Christy and I strive to be absolutely fabulous.
How about Carol Burnett? Anybody Carol Burnett out there? You watch old school Carol Burnett?
Yeah. That's some old school.
Old school.
Parks and Recreation. Love it. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Parks and Rec is Matt from Ministry?
Yes.
Okay. I want that book from
Faulty
you soon.
Towers.
Yeah. Caring Loudly. Man.
British comedies are great.
British comedies.
Doc Martin. Any Doc Martin fans in the crowd?
Yeah.
What's that?
So good.
Don't mention the war.
Leah, what's the one that's filmed in Glasgow with the old men, the crash of the old men? It's like Still Game.
Still Game.
Yeah, is anybody? Yeah. Still Game is
okay.
It hasn't made it.
It's on Netflix. You know, can watch it. You should use subtitles, though, because it's proper Glaswegian.
Johnny Laney. Who said that?
Yes. Classic. Any Letterkenny fans?
Yeah, Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
But I do think the Brits are good at, like, the theology and comedy thing. Because you get shows like, if you've seen Father Ted or Rev or The Vicar of Dibley or like, they are able to talk and they make fun of, but then it doesn't hurt. You know, there's some balance there, but we just don't touch it in the States. But they've figured out how to do it. I mean, these are classic shit. Father Ted is classic.
I'm writing that down. Classic. Father Ted?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean. Come on. Yes.
Family Guy is severely underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Overhated.
No one mentioned The Simpsons.
I was going to say South Park, Simpsons.
Nobody mentioned South Park.
I'm a big Always Sunny fan.
Caddyshack.
Yeah. Caddyshack.
Mm-hmm. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
There you go. 42.
Bob's Burgers. Talladega Nights.
Community.
Absolutely. Pretty funny.
Talladega Nights. I do like a good stoner comedy too. I like Super Bad. Pineapple Express.
No, Harold and Kumar, White Castle. It's the only.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle is the only reason I've been to White Castle.
Yeah.
I didn't know what White Castle was because it's crystal in the south.
Yeah, it's crystal. I eat a crystal.
Same concept. Little burgers that make your stomach hurt.
And that's just to prove a point. Like, we could do this all day, you know, and take a resource and write down things. Like, there's people like getting people names of books and resources, theological things, but in terms of comedy and movies, and that's what we do at Systematic Geekology. We have recommendations at the end of the podcast because, like, I geek out on lots of things, but there's always something I'm learning about. Like, I did not know Father Ted, but I've heard that a few times, and I can't wait to pull it up and see what's going on.
Oh, I was
going
to say Mary, Mother of Christ. Very funny.
Okay.
Hilarious.
The actual mother?
No, the actual.
The actual Mother of Christ. Yeah. She was a riot.
She's so funny.
Well, I mean, let's also be honest. Jesus was called a drunkard and glutton for reasons. Okay.
Wales, keep
he
going.
He did turn
keep
water going. Into wine.
And, and I just want to point out the existence of a platypus. So
hilarious.
There's that.
Just the idea of being the son of God, and your mom runs out of wine, and she finds you, and she's like, please.
She's like, Jesus,
that was the first miracle, right?
It was.
Like, it was like all these sick people and people. It was like a Monty Python skit, and it was like, well, we can't get drunk. And he's like,
we're out of wine. And then he's like, let me give you some incredible wine. And they were like, man.
They're not mad about it.
No. Please. They complained about it.
They do. They were like, why didn't we drink this first? Well, it didn't exist 5 seconds ago, so.
Yeah.
So let's shift a little bit to, if you don't mind, to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hail to the yeah. This is hers. Yeah.
Like, we are in spooky season. You know, it's the 50th anniversary. What is it about this that I'm going to let you run with it in terms of the integration of the work that you do, but also as
So before you do that, I did,
okay.
Because this will derail it if I have to wait.
Okay. All right.
How many of you have ever seen Sam Kinison's bit about why Jesus never got married?
I think so. Maybe.
With Jesus, the bear, Peter as well.
Yeah. The bit is, which is, so where have you been all weekend, Savior? Have you been out with those disciples of yours?
Oh.
Well, I've been dead. Oh, sure, right? You know what I mean? It's,
which is dead. The dead excuse, Colin dead.
Yeah, but so the point is, he couldn't get married because who's going to believe he was dead for the weekend when he was gone?
Queer coming back also anyway, point out right. The fact that he hung out with 12 guys all the time.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead.
Oh, Rocky Horror. Yeah. So Rocky Horror Picture Show is a really strange little movie. I saw it on a midnight showing on a Friday in Atlanta, Georgia, and my little Southern Baptist heart exploded. There was the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life in high heels and a corset dancing across the stage. Because if you don't know, the midnight showings, they dress up and they like perform, and it's
a liturgical experience.
It really, really is. Well, and and that was what got us thinking about it in theology. I want to write a chapter on it, I think, because there is this idea, like when you go there, it does feel like church. Like people are, there's, especially if you do the callbacks and stuff, like if you know Brad, asshole, damn it. Sluts. Right. Everyone's screaming back at the screen, and it's like a call. It's a call and response, basically. Mm-hmm. And
you and said it. We didn't. It's fine.
That's the thing, you know, and you have costumes. Everybody dresses up, like there's performances. You're singing songs, and the emotion that I felt in that place, it just felt like for 90 minutes, we were able to be someone else, but in a pure way. Like you can say Halloween or whatever, blah, blah. Cosplay. But I feel like it was akin to cosplay for people who are big into the fandoms, is that that's what it felt like. You were somebody else for a little bit, and you could escape, and you could talk about sex a lot. And I was in Atlanta, Georgia. Like you could talk about sex and you could be irreverent. But then there was also some real thoughts about what does it mean to be an alien? Like, what does it mean for people to think you don't belong? What does creation mean? Like, there's all these sort of themes within it. Now, at the time, I was just drinking wine and like dancing around with a push-up bra, but you know, you can get there eventually.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's like deeply connected to Frankenstein, which like obviously has an incredible amount to say about like human arrogance and the kind of absurd things that we do to try to be God. I mean, creating a monster is absurd. And then the monster in, we get Rocky Horror, the monster turns out to be absurd. Like Rocky is
very handsome, but very stupid.
Real dumb. And
I don't know that he was going for brains on this one.
No.
And so like there's a whole bunch of different ideas and themes that are being played with and talked about that are really, really serious. And simultaneously, we can throw toilet paper and laugh and do the time warp and all of that. Like, you know,
and I think too, seeing Tim Curry, I was with a guy who was self-proclaimed very straight. And we both were just like, yeah. I mean, he's fantastic in that film. Yeah. And
he's
like,
fantastic in everything.
He is truly. But I do think it's one of those things where it represented something. This is really, I mean, you can theologize anything, but I think what you saw was a release for these kids that had grown up really conservative for just that little window of a minute. You got to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
It felt like.
It's like you get a free pass to express yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Right.
Yeah. And then you leave and you're like, oh God, I have to wait another month to be able to have fun again. Like, and it's not like we lived in a bubble or anything. Well, we did sort of, but it felt like it was a get out of jail free pass where we could scream slut at the top of our lungs at Susan Sarandon.
So you say it's like permission giving. I think that's what.
It's liberating.
It is liberating. For sure. It's liberating.
You go to a comedy show and you're with other people laughing at the same things, or maybe not, but there's something to that solidarity that comes with it, with humor.
There's a unifying element. There's a liberating element. And I think too, cause I keep, I've been just obsessively enjoying, all of the liberation panel yesterday and the sinners panel this morning. And like the kind of idea, we need to be able to hear from voices of the others and center them. And like, what better way to do that than to have just a mass of very other people? They're aliens, they're transvestites, and they're, you know, dancing around. They're sweet transvestites. I mean, it's just like opening, like you don't have any more boundaries. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a safe space to, like, I remember going in Glasgow, which is a real hard Scottish city. Like, that's, it's if you know it. And there were guys dressed up in corsets that I knew were going to go on the building site the next day.
Yeah.
Like, there was no question.
I went,
they were going to hard hat up. And I was like, hell yeah. But for that minute, they were able to, and no one, you should see these guys. No one told them to do jack. Like, they did it because they wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And they were able to do it. Like, it was, how freeing
is that?
It's just
like, yeah. And it's, especially Glasgow is such a working class city that it's like so nice to be able to see them have this like moment of just pure joy and fun. And
they shed it as they were walking out. And I felt like that was such a symbol. Like, they put on their real clothes as they were walking out the door. Cause it was like, that was a, we were in a time warp. We were in some little like matrix place. And then they were back to the real world again.
I guess my question is, how can comedy draw us in, or like common ground? So I'm thinking of the sketch as you're talking about this and like the working class and where they are, but the sketch of Black Jeopardy and Tom Hanks is a Southerner that coming
the
in.
The best modern SNL sketch.
One of the best sketches of all time. Then they get to the end and you're like, how do you think about
Black Jeopardy?
Like, I thought he's like, nope, stop.
Doug.
His name is what?
Doug.
His name's Doug.
Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
Doug.
I think you're all right, Doug.
I think you're
and he comes
right.
to shake right, his Doug. Hand and he's like,
But you know, that was such an apocalyptic in the word, the Greek word, in terms of revealing the common ground between the two, that this certain, the human condition that they're both experiencing, the comedy that comes together, that comedy, when done really well, can really draw people together into closer relationships. So in terms of like, whether it's Rocky Horror Picture Show with queer theology or that, like, I don't know, just a thought that sparked. What do you guys think? Like, go for it. Other examples, or how can it bring us closer?
Go ahead, DJ.
Please, no.
Well, think about the genre of the editorial cartoon. And so I've got a quote here, which says, an editorial cartoon is not humorous for the sake of humor or controversial for the sake of controversy. Whether you agree with it philosophically or not, a good editorial cartoon engages the reader in debate. It draws the reader into the democratic process. So I think that one thing humor can do is engage and invite people to reflect. So, I mean, think of the one of the classic stories of humor in the Western tradition is Hans Christian Andersen's The Emperor's New Clothing, right? Mm-hmm. So what it does is it invites everyone who hears that story into the question is, does the emperor, and the emperor might be the president of the seminary you work for? Not talking about you, Robin.
That'll
just
preach.
As an example.
Don't preach.
But it might be the governor of the, you know, a friend of mine says, hey, the thing about Illinois is, you know, four of our last five governors are in prison.
Not Pritzker, though.
Wait, yet. Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, the last speaker, the long-term speaker of the Illinois House, he's in prison, right? But that invitation to, like, okay, what is it about the corrupt political scene where in Illinois, not wherever you live, Carolinas or whatever.
Thank you.
That what North is Carolina it about is it
killed.
That
I'm currently in
they're
Florida,
all so. In prison?
Henry McMaster's not.
Yeah, because that's South Carolina. You have two different stories right now.
Right. That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Power.
Absolute power.
Yeah. Concept. Well, I think this is why it's so important for we've already talked about satire in terms of whether it's, you know, website or SNL. SNL does a great job of making sure that we know about current events. I mean,
sure.
The best part of SNL is Weekend Update and like
Norm MacDonald.
Like, everything
Norm MacDonald got fired.
About Weekend Update is like this thing that's happening is crazy. And like we should be concerned.
Right.
And they're presenting it in such a like we're laughing.
It was Norm MacDonald on Weekend Update who invented the term fake news.
The best.
He'd say, and now for the fake news. And of course it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the best Weekend Update run of all time.
I'm going to say Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah, I'm with you.
No, they were okay, but
Amy Poehler and Seth Meyers, also great, but I mean,
Chevy Chase, you can go all the way back.
It's really special because to me, it feels like as society goes on, we used to have huge communities of people who would watch the same thing at the same time.
True.
New Simpsons, Friday nights. Yep. Now, the only one that's really left is Weekend Update.
Football,
I guess. I don't know, that's a different thing.
How's Georgia doing, y'all?
No, actually, everybody just podcasts or YouTubes it off.
Podcasts.
You hate podcasts?
Yeah, I can't stand them.
You hate yours
so
the most?
So many of them. Stop, TJ.
That's right.
Yeah. This is exhausting. Why would I want to hear people talk? I talk.
It's okay.
I already told
is it the first half?
Yes, it's the first half.
Yeah.
It's 21-17.
It's fine.
21-17 Ole Miss.
Oh my gosh.
Say that again.
I like Tom over here at Orvis like Zach. Like I'm getting killed.
Thomas Herman.
He just has a little hurtsy from last week when his Auburn lost.
But anyway, Weekend Update still feels that way, is what I was getting at.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
Studies have shown that people who get their news through comedy. This is across and
are healthier people. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So
we're smarter.
Okay. I just want to, here's, I suspect this. No, they're as well informed as people who get it through. So if my father and mother would always watch the PBS McNeil Lehrer News Hour, but they're probably both dead by now. And so now it's whoever succeeded them, right? Every night. But people who watch, the late night comics who do news. And by the way, what's the number one show on cable news? Don't say anything. The person I'm married to. Does anybody know? What? No, not The Daily Show. Yes.
Oh, Gutfeld.
Okay, Amy.
Nobody has cable.
I know. I'm sorry. What is cable?
Exactly. Yeah. The point is,
cable I'm familiar with is.
Are you talking
Comics.
About the Netflix?
No, it's Greg Gutfeld's comedy show. Right, but it's okay. You don't have to like it, but it informs people equally as well as PBS. Yeah, it does.
I learned a lot of math.
You might not like the humor, but it's just as it will tell you the news as well as the others. And yes.
Here we go.
Okay.
So I think
you might not like the perspective, but just telling what the news is. Go ahead, DJ.
So for me, typically what will happen is I'm listening to someone put on a bit about something that's happened recently. And I was like, wow, I bet that was fucking funny. Better find out if it was.
Yeah.
I better research that. I bet that joke was hilarious.
My students are between the ages, because I teach at a community college, so I have some high schoolers, and then all the way up to seniors. I have three lovely ladies auditing who are their seniors in the community. They get to audit for free. And so a wide range of perspectives. But the younger students don't, I say, like, if you watch this TV show, what are you watching? And it's like TikTok, Instagram,
right,
YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not watching TV like we used to. So, So what they get are the bits, and then they'll go look it up. Like you said, like, they're going to be like, oh, that was funny, I'll go watch the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to consume stuff just like generally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's important to be able to be, I guess, kind of attention grabbing quickly, and humor can do that. Something funny is going to make us watch the rest of it. And then you can get more, you know, you can have a serious bit as you go. I like Josh Johnson, who is on The Daily Show, but also does like stand-up stuff. And he did it was an explainer about the Kendrick and Drake feud for white people.
It's amazing.
It is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. But he doesn't just explain the feud. He's also like layering in there important information about, you know, like culture and the ways that things translate and all this. Mm-hmm. It's very, very smart. He's really intelligent.
It's so well crafted. He fills you in on like 18 years of beef.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like
does.
5 minutes.
He really does. My favorite part is when he goes, Pusha T, that's a rapper.
Yeah. he goes, white people. That white, he points out one white guy. He's like, that's a rapper. Just so you know.
So
like,
he's so funny.
So one of the things you just said is it's really smart, whatever humor. So if you're familiar with multiple intelligence theory, there's different ways that different people are smart. And TJ, if you keep working at it, you're going to find
one
yours.
Day.
Yeah.
One day. I keep praying.
I don't know TJ well enough to really rip him.
He'll protest.
Listen,
he's a frog.
I've been this height since I was like 14. I'll be this smart until who knows.
But humor is a form of intelligence, just like music is, and just like math is. But it's in the manuals on multiple intelligence theory. There's no chapter on humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there should be.
There should be.
And I had to confess to Christy, you can talk in this too, is I don't, y'all, is Trip Fuller around?
He's right.
Oh, he's probably, he's talking to James Forgot.
It's okay. He's not paying attention.
He doesn't pay it. James? Hey, Trip.
No.
Yeah.
He's never spoken to James.
I don't, see, he's don't still look. Not paying attention. Don't look.
Don't make eye contact. Don't
he's
make
still,
eye contact.
I he's don't, still, he's looking I don't over here actually now. Love he's Monty Python, guys.
Look, hey, she's Trent. Wrong about
How's
a lot
it going?
Of things.
Hey,
it's
baby
fine.
Boy, how are you?
What's happening?
What's your?
I don't love it.
What's your favorite line from Life of Brian?
We are all individuals. Where they all scream, we are all individuals together.
And my name is Brian.
I've seen
He's
it.
He's coming your way. Huh? He's coming your way, Leah. Don't look. Don't look.
Do what's your favorite line
from
Life of Brian?
Oh, we just said we really love Monty Python.
Trip, what's your favorite line from Life of Brian?
The gourd. The holy gourd.
I mean, I'm a holy grail person. That's where I'm at. And the number of times that I tell people that their mother smelled of elderberries,
which
it's important.
We all know what that means.
Yeah.
We didn't really need you. We were just I did
hear you talking away, shit about me today. Though.
I actually like the
run
part.
Away,
the two parts I like best are one where they go. The only time you actually see Jesus in the movie is he's in the distance and he said, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. And they go, did he say blessed are the cheesemakers? No, he really means blessed are all purveyors of dairy products, right?
Okay. I do like when he's looking out the window and he's like, don't listen to me. And they're all listening to him. Think for yourselves.
I also like the bit about, and you helped me, the Palestinian Liberation Front. And he goes, no, did you mean the liberation in front for Palestinians? No, he's over there. You know, that, making fun of these like tiny little movements that they split because they disagree, and Protestants don't know anything about that.
Holy moly.
Nope. not a thing.
Romans, they didn't build the road.
Right, yeah, exactly. They built the roads and the aqueducts. And
I do like aspects of it. I'm kind of I'm not a Gen Zer. Y'all, hold the shock. But I do think I'm a little Gen Z about Monty Python, which is I like the skit, some of the skits in it, but watching it sometimes, like
she thinks it's too long.
It's a little tedious.
Speaking of Gen Z.
Yeah.
You're not Gen Z, you said.
I'm sure not. I was born in 1982. I'm an old millennial.
Wait a second. I got to think about that. Hold on.
It's an elder millennial.
Yeah, we're elder millennials.
But you're not Gen X.
No. TJ's we're 14. He's a Gen what? I don't even know what you are.
14.
So alpha. Millennials. Yeah, alpha. Millennials are the baby boomers. Is this being streamed?
It is being recorded.
Okay, then thank you. I just have to moderate my language. The millennials are the baby boomers' last revenge upon the world. Their kids.
Okay.
So sorry if that's you.
And that's all we have for now. We're done. Okay, that's going to close. We're not going to end on that note. There's a couple minutes left. Is there a question or thought or revelation?
Beth, so many.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about Monty Python, and my husband and I, who are millennials, watched all of the Flying Circus in the first couple of years of our marriage.
Good.
This must be funny.
It is.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
We're not British baby boomers, and maybe if we were, it would be funny to us. And so I'm wondering about the use of humor and the fact that it is deeply contextual right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Humor effectively when we're communicating with people. If it's not is there a relational aspect to humor that's necessary?
Oh.
Yeah.
When it comes to cringe, if I'm trying to workshop some jokes and my kids look at me and be like, Dad, that's super cringe. You need to stop. I'm like, okay, I need to keep working on this or double down or just keep going until they laugh or just walk away. But I think it's an incredible point in terms of generational, but what's your taste of humor and those kinds of things. I think
it's.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is super important, and I talk about it a lot, both in theology and literature, is to always know your context, and not just the context of who sang it, but also who is the audience. And then you have to take the third layer of who are you as an audience now, and what are the different lenses you're reading it through. And I think especially with humor, if you don't have a good understanding of all of that context for something, there's a lot of stuff that can get lost and or becomes just bad, right? Now we're like, ooh, that is not funny anymore, you know? And I think that's really, really important for humor. Yeah.
And my husband's British. He's from, and he doesn't think Monty Python's very funny. Yeah. So and he's from there. And he grew
bias.
Up on it.
Confirmation bias, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's not that it's, again, aspects are funny. And we point, you know what? The skits we've had point out the funny bits. But the issue is there's an hour left.
Leah wants to watch the TikTok version of Monty.
I really do. And it's not that I don't like humor. It's just that I don't find that.
Yeah. Much. Well, you don't like a stout.
I don't like who?
A stout, like a stout beer.
No, I think that's real gross.
All right, so she's just not a dry person. So
I need
British
to go.
It's just not for
because
her.
I
mean, I managed.
Worship
I managed
is
to snag one,
worship's so. In 15 minutes, and I'm operating a guitar.
Okay.
But I do want to say. One of the deepest problems with humor or challenges rather is it's culturally specific. Mm-hmm. And so if I use humor in my class and I have people that are not North American, then to the degree that I use humor, I exclude them. But that's also why we don't get the humor in the Bible. So I've got quotes in here about there's no humor in the Bible. Alfred Lord. Okay, don't tell Fuller, but Alfred Lord Whitehead said there's no humor in the Bible. But no, think about the emperor in Daniel. Whenever you hear the sound of the trigon and the psaltery and the lyre and the drum and the harp and the recorder and any musical instrument, all the precepts and the governors and the set, right?
It's, we laugh every Easter vigil.
But you have to read it right. But it, culturally, if you've been told there's no humor in the Bible and you're like, oh, yes, the satraps and the precepts and the governor, right? It's hilarious. It's
hilarious. Rolf Jacobson's book, Divine Laughter. Find it. Buy it. And Thomas has something he can't wait to say.
I will say, Christy did point out that Paul fell out of a window.
Yes.
Because he was so boring.
Paul was so boring, a man fell out of the window and died.
Sorry, he did. A man fell out of the window.
I Bible. Think he died first and then fell.
No, he died because of Paul.
Yeah, I actually think he died because Paul was boring and then he fell.
Either way, Paul killed a man. He was so boring and they put it in the Bible.
Has anyone ever fallen out of a window in your class?
Tom, go for it.
Tom.
To this last point about the Bible, what happens when we canonize humor? When the book of Revelation, when Jonah are satirical humor texts that we put an Enlightenment, modernity, Protestant bullshit epistemology on that
yes.
says they're infallible when really they're the emperor has no clothes. Look at the whore in Rome. Like, what does that do to how we worship, how we engage what is called the sacred text?
The last thing I want to say is that I do think you said it earlier.
Yeah.
Rough. Humor being seen as not smart or not serious is the downfall of society. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to understand humor. My God, this fly.
He's a big fan.
A big fan of humor.
Yeah. If we had a big fan, he
Because otherwise, like, we immediately dismiss or we don't understand and we're not correctly trying to understand. And humor is so smart and it's so good and so useful.
Hey, but also to Tom's question.
I got
to
run. Thank you all. You guys continue.
I do want to say to Tom's question, I think what happens is what we see in the academy is that you get all of these pompous people that take everything so seriously. And what we do is we get really, really conservative doctrine that comes out of the Bible because people are unable to read contextually, because they're like, well, this is the word of God, and this is what God said, and this is what it is. And okay, well, God spoke to a donkey.
Must be very
was that real? What? What's going on? Job? Let's talk about Job.
Oh.
You want to think that's Job. For real? Yeah.
Job is crazy.
There's a lot of stuff to think about if you believe in a Bible that's inherent, where you have a story like Job that you think is absolutely correct and happened in real time.
My hot take on Job is that it's a Saturday Night
skit. Job
all right,
too.
Thank you guys for coming.
Hey, guys.
Woo! Go up to TJ and share your favorite church joke with him, and he can't wait.
I'm okay with that if someone wants to. My ears are small, but they work.
Remember to use small words. He's young.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason, or even for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page. And we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
Hello, Systematic Ecology listeners. This is Kevin here. Just want to give a brief ad for some of the other podcasts in our Anna Zowel podcast network. First of all, off is Let Nothing Move You by Christian Ashley, in which Christian goes through the Bible one chapter at a time and gives his thoughts there. There is also The Bible After Hours, which is a more progressive take on the Bible that tries to challenge the status quo with satire and looks at theology. The host uses the pseudonym, The Foulmouth Preacher. And as a bonus, Joshua Knoll does the voices for this one. So definitely check that one out. And also, And We'll Laugh About That Later is the newest podcast that our own Will Rose is starting, where he will interview friends about a story they had that wasn't funny at the time, but that they laugh about now. So definitely check out these shows and subscribe to us wherever you get your pods. Thank you very much.